Good evening. My name is Nancy Winder, and I'm the pastor in the Village. Welcome to our Sunday evening celebration of the Eucharist, this gathering around word and sacrament that gives shape to our life in this village and in the world. You should all have a copy of the ELW, the cranberry-colored book. There are still some at both entrances to our worship space. So if you need one, please get one. A couple comments about our worship as we begin. First of all, on Sunday evenings, we take an offering during our Eucharist, and our offering goes to ministries usually outside of Holden. And our summer offerings this year are going to scholarships at the Lutheran Seminary Program of the Southwest for pastoral candidates in Hispanic congregations in the Pacific Northwest. There's much-needed scholarships for some really people who are going to be really great pastors in our Hispanic congregation. And you can read more about it on the back wall back there. If you write a check, please write it to Holden Village. There is some information about communion at Holden inside the back cover of your ELW. But to give you a little brief heads up here, there will be three lines around the altar. The first person in line will have bread. The next person will have a chalice of wine. The next person will have a basket of empty pottery cups. If you choose to drink from a cup, you can take one of those, followed by a pitcher of wine. And the next thing is a pitcher of grape juice, and then an empty basket for the cup you have just used. There are ushers who will assist you in coming to the different lines, but please know that that is the sequence. If you wish to receive a blessing, please come to the person with bread with your arms crossed, and parents with your children. It's very helpful to us if you give some guidance as to your children's practices at the table. Thank you. Tonight we are using setting 2 in the Lutheran Book of Worship. Did I say that? I did, didn't I? That's the old book. It was green. In Evangelical Lutheran Worship, which is cranberry colored. And it is on page 116 in the book, and we will pretty much be going right through this setting, and we will let you know the numbers of the hymns and if there are any adjustments to the order of the liturgy. We begin on page 116 with Confession and Forgiveness. We use the form in the right-hand column, and it will be led from the font. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us.
We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
The hymn is 631. 631.
Thank you.
We're on page 120. Page 120. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and you gladly give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us your abundant mercy. Forgive us those things that weigh on our conscience, and give us those good things that come only through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Genesis. The Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And the Lord said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to the Lord, "Suppose 40 are found there." The Lord answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then Abraham said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." The Lord answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." The Lord answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then Abraham said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." The Lord answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm this evening is Psalm 138, and it can be found in the front part of your hymnal right before the hymns. Again, it's Psalm 138. And here at Holden, we like to have a little bit of fun when we read our psalms. So if you have a sunburn, you will be reading the odd verses. And if you are smart and put on sunscreen and don't have a sunburn, you will be reading the even verses. So again, it's Psalm 138. "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
All the rulers of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high, yet there is the lowly, perceiving the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good your purpose for me, O Lord. Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands."
A reading from Colossians. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in Christ the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in Christ, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In Christ also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with Christ in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God and raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with Christ, having forgiven us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. God set this aside, nailing it to a cross. God disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Word of God, word of life.
The gospel today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and get you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, at least because of his shamelessness, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
I'm concerned about the snakes and scorpions. Jesus says, "Who among you, if your child asks for bread or fish or an egg, would give snakes or stones or scorpions?" Why would Jesus even think of such a thing? We know Jesus loves children. We often get a picture of the disciples as being kind of clueless, kind of like puppies, but maybe not so cute. Like us, they get it wrong so often. They're curious about simple things, and they seem to think they get it when their actions show they don't. But in the gospel text today, they seem to be right on target. They're making an excellent request. "Lord, teach us to pray." They do link it to John and his disciples, and in doing so, they show that they haven't quite gotten it yet, that the one that they've been following is totally unique among all the prophets or teachers or healers one could be following. But it's a very good question, and the fact that Jesus' answer, which has become the Lord's Prayer, or the prayer Jesus taught us, is so well known and studied and beloved by millions of Christians, even to this day, affirms that Jesus' response was a good one. Jesus adds stories, too, because stories help people identify and understand. Stories let us put ourselves into the action. Today's texts are primarily about conversations that humans have with God, which we most commonly call prayer. The Hebrew ancestors we encounter in the ancient stories were well acquainted with prayer. Their God seems to be a presence in their lives who spoke to them as clearly as the people in their household or on the street. Abraham's plea with God for the non-destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah on behalf of all the righteous people there demonstrates not only that God listens to him, but a confidence and respectful familiarity that shows his relationship with God is well established and regular. By the time Jesus shows up, the everydayness of prayer seems not to be a part of the lives of the ordinary people we encounter in Scripture. So that when Jesus prays in a certain place, as the gospel puts it, with the disciples waiting, always waiting and watching, it generates some curiosity. So it's a good conversation. They ask, Jesus gives them a good plan, adds some stories about persistence, seeking, asking, and knocking, and then Jesus brings up scorpions. Is he angry? Does he think he's talking to people who might be capable of terrible mean jokes against children? Is he trying to get their attention? The texts are also about relationships. Parent, child, friend, neighbor, God and human. The stories Jesus tells urge us to be bold, but also to pay attention to the nuances of our relationship with God and others, and to count on the welcomeness of our voices in God's ear. This is a God who has made promises to be faithful, and Jesus' ask, seek, knock instruction is not just a self-help strategy, it's a way of recognizing and deepening a parent-child relationship that already exists. Abraham seems to cause God to revise plans to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. If 10 righteous men can be found, it might be enough to turn around the whole wicked population. This kind of conversation seems to please God, just as a trusting, heartfelt talk and the gentle give and take of mutual persuasion might please a parent who's willing to let go of being right to encourage a child and to find the best outcome. As Terry Fredheim put it last week, God has new ingredients with which to work because of human participation with him. So why the scorpions and snakes? I get the story of the two friends. One of them receives an unexpected visitor late at night and has nothing in the house to eat. I can see this from both points of view. The friend who doesn't want to get up and unlock the door at midnight has a point. She's probably a single mom with two jobs. She's tired. She works in the morning, and her friend down the hall, let's call him Rob, may have done this late night knocking before. He's a musician, a drummer probably. He works at night and starts waking up when the sun goes down. It's amazing they even know each other, but they live in the same building, and the fact that it's gonna take her some work to get the door unlocked indicates what kind of an apartment building it is. Cheap, not the greatest neighborhood. And Sheila has installed an extra deadbolt so that she can feel better about leaving the kids when she has the early shift. Sometimes Rob, when he doesn't have a late night gig, will even help get him off to school. But it's midnight and Rob won't starve, and tonight she's too exhausted to open the door. She's got a point. Jesus, however, seems at least initially to want to put us into the mind of the guy down the hall. Even if Sheila won't open up out of friendship, when Rob keeps at it, knocking loud enough to wake the neighbors, she'll open that door and hand over some of the baked goods she picked up on the way home this afternoon, just to shut him up. Persistent is one translation, and another, perhaps better one, is shamelessness. But the baguettes may not be all that Rob is after. He keeps on knocking because he's confident in the relationship with his friend. He's confident enough in his friendship with Sheila and also confident that this is an important occasion. So he's going to keep on knocking shamelessly until she opens the door. How much more, Jesus said, will the Father provide for you when you ask with a full heart for something good to happen? Do not let anyone disqualify you, St. Paul says to the church at Colossae. Hold fast, abounding in thanksgiving. Do not be taken captive through human constructions of thought. Do not be deceived or settle for anything less than the fullness of Christ. ask, seek, knock. The good children in Jesus' story ask for good things. Bread, fish, eggs, things a good parent would be pleased to provide. But we, God's backward and perverse children, are rather dysfunctional, or we wouldn't have to ask for forgiveness right after we ask for bread. And often, instead of asking for bread, we ask for stones. Instead of the living bread of Christ's body, we, like the Colossians, are easily deceived into thinking that what we need is the rock-solid certainty of human arrangements, safe jobs that pay well enough but don't address our deep yearnings, comfortable answers to questions we only pretend to ask, safe relationships that only require us to be nice and pretend to get along. Sometimes we'd rather ask for a scorpion that will fascinate us, and if we can control it, we'll keep other people away rather than an egg that we might have to share. Sometimes we'd rather have a snake that can move in only two dimensions rather than a fish that, unlike ourselves, lives and thrives comfortably in three. We are backwards. But God is always turning our expectations upside down and over, even when we don't want to be disturbed by the upheaval and new growth of our life in Christ. Luke 11:5. And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go at midnight and say, 'Friend, Sheila, lend me three loaves of bread. An old friend of mine has just showed up, and I have nothing to eat in the house.' I know you're in there. Bring three loaves, one for each of us. I know you have them because I was with you when you bought a dozen this afternoon. My friend's a blues guitar player from Chicago. He's really good. And you sing the blues like no one I've ever heard before. It's a gift. And you've been working way too hard, and you deserve a break. Bring the baby monitor. The kids won't wake up, but just in case they do, I promise to let you go home in 1 hour. Just come, please." Which of you, when asked for a loaf, would give a stone? There's a strange thing that happens in relationships, which I've noticed here at Holden Village more than anywhere else or ever before. It's not that Holden is this magic place, but some things are clearer in this wilderness where we don't have quite so many distractions, where we're freer to notice each other. Some people come here with huge burdens, enormous burdens. You won't know it by looking at them. If they have the courage or encouragement to open the lid on those troubles, though, those burdens, scattered all over the forest floor, become lighter. And someone else who has done nothing more than pay attention is somehow enriched by the deep significance of sharing these troubles. It becomes part of their calling in the world, part of their story now. And both people are reshaped and renewed in the process. And there is joy. I've seen it happen over and over again. Do not be held captive by a human way of thinking. You are rooted in the fullness of the living Christ. What Jesus instructs us to ask for is his very self. Jesus, in whom the fullness of God is pleased to dwell bodily, and now we have become his body in the world. We ask for the bread of his body, which is everything we need. We ask for forgiveness, which was accomplished mysteriously once and for all through him in the blood of his cross. We ask for deliverance from the darkness, which he accomplishes by nailing all of our trespasses to the cross, allowing us the privilege of dying with him so that we can rise together with him in newness of life and in love. So what do you think about the snakes and scorpions? They get our attention. They elicit real physical response. And it's into the body of the world that Jesus comes. They give us a strong desire to get eggs and fish and bread to God's children who won't get what they need unless we pay attention. From Colossians, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Together as God's people in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Jesus, you taught the disciples to pray to God as to a loving parent. Teach us to pray that our words might come from your heart and our petitions from your boundless compassion. Lord, in your mercy. Jesus, peacemaker and friend, may your love for us shown in the cross fill our hearts and minds. We pray in your name for our world, for all the war-torn places, for the hungry people around empty tables, for the poor who suffer for the decisions of others. Help us to live as servants and fill our words and actions with your grace and justice. Lord, in your mercy. O Christ, the beginning of our life together, help us to live rooted and grounded in you and full of thanksgiving for all our blessings. Nurture the community of the church that we may live together in peace and harmony, so that our differences of opinion do not become differences of will, and we can witness to the life you give us in everything we do. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of this valley, we pray for this village, for all who work here, for all who come here for the refreshment of their lives. Make us faithful proclaimers of all your promises in our words and actions. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For what else do the people of God pray?
We pray for Luz Maria Cabrera, who is facing a neurological surgery for an unruptured aneurysm, and for all the people of El Camino de Emmaus in Mount Vernon. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Pray for Renee and all the survivors of the earthquake in Haiti. Be with them in their grief and sorrow, and bring them comfort which only you can give. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please greet one another with a sign of peace. Thank you. Preparatory hymn is 407. 407, please stand as you're able. Setting two on page like 122. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is God.
And our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of heaven and earth, heaven and earth are full of glory. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath. Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way at the table to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering within this meal among your people throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit, in your church without end. Amen. You're invited to pray the Lord's Prayer in whatever words are most familiar and comforting to you. We pray for all things we need in the words Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is Christ's table and not our own. All are welcome to the feast of life. Come, for all is prepared.
We'll go here.
We're going to come here. Come here.
Our first distribution hymn is 752. Lord, listen to your children praying. Our next hymn is 474.
Thank you.
Our next hymn is 483. Number 479.
Thank you.
Please stand as you're able. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
God, our Creator, at this table you have sustained us with the good things of your grace. Fix our hearts on your mercy and truth, that our lives may reflect your love for all creation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. The hymn is 822. 822.